Our scripture lesson comes from the prophet Micah, chapter 6, verses 1 to 8. And before we read, I'm going to invite you to bow with me again for prayer. Almighty God, through your only Son, you overcame death and opened to us the light of eternity. Enlighten our minds and kindle our hearts with the presence of your Spirit, that we may hear your words of comfort and challenge in the readings of Scripture. And may the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Hear the words of the prophet Micah. He says, "Hear what the Lord says. Rise and plead your case before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. Hear, you mountains, the controversy of the Lord, and you enduring foundations of the earth. For the Lord has a controversy with his people, and he will contend with Israel. O my people, what have I done to you? In what have I wearied you? Answer me. For I brought you up from the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of slavery. And I sent before you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember now what King Balak of Moab devised, what Balaam, son of Beor, answered him, and what happened from Shittim to Gilgal, that you may know the saving acts of the Lord. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before God with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and love kindness, and to walk humbly with our God?" The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Question for us is, how are we to be part of bringing God's kingdom to manifestation here on earth? And what Micah says is, the Lord requires us to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with God. I love this verse. I don't think God could have spelled it out much more clearly than this. And I hear the words and I just know that it rings true. It's simple, but it's not so simple. Friends, this is how God has created us and how God calls us, all of us, and how God requires us to live. I believe that when we live out this command from God, we're a part of the community of God's people on earth who are helping usher in God's kingdom, to bring glimpses of the heavenly kingdom right here into the midst of people who do not know God, so that they too might catch a glimpse of the goodness of God and come to know God's loving presence eternally. Here's the backstory, the context of this verse. Micah was a prophet from Moreseth, about 20 miles southwest of Jerusalem. And he prophesied during the 8th century. And his contemporaries were Hosea and Isaiah, two of the prophets we also know. Micah was writing to God's people of Israel and Judah, the northern and southern kingdoms. And he was warning them that judgment was coming, and he was offering them pardon if they repented. The theme throughout Micah is that of judgment and forgiveness. What Micah makes clear is that God hates unkindness, and that's a strong word to say that God hates, but God hates unkindness. God hates idolatry. God hates injustice, and God hates our empty religious rituals. These are things that apparently God would still hate today. Earlier in chapter 6, Israel is accused of breaking their covenant with God, and they are reminded of God's faithfulness to them in their earlier time together. And then we pick up in our story today where Micah is telling us what God considers to be good and what God reveals as being required for us to do in order to satisfy God's will. And what is God's will for us? Here it is. God requires and delights in a faith that produces justice, loves kindness, and walks humbly with God. And when we live it, and when we love it, and walk it, and do it with our words and our actions, excuse me, we are helping to bring God's kingdom here to earth. Notice that these are all very active requirements. They're not passive. They're not about being here in our head, but they're about being active with our words and our deeds. Regarding these three specifics that are named here that God requires us to do, pastor and scholar James Howe says this. First of all, justice. It's not a checklist, he says, where we say to ourselves, I'm a just person, check that off. Kindness, working on it, walk humbly. Well, maybe someday. He says the lines between these three are blurry, and they are actually far more intertwined than we might initially imagine. You see, justice requires humility, which induces kindness, which looks a lot like humility, as does real justice. Justice is a different kind of justice because it is paired with walking humbly. So it's not a boastful and proud demand for justice. It's working humbly and kindly to bring about justice for all. Howell goes on to say, Micah's intent for us cannot be seen like the lyric from the Meatloaf pop song in the late 70s where, well, two out of three ain't bad, right? In Micah's admonition, he says we need all three of these qualities because they're all intertwined. And we miss God's desire and requirement if we leave any of them out. So we need to be working towards developing them all. Following Micah's order of things, let's take them in order and look at them. First, there's justice. We're told to do justice. Do justice. It's not think about justice or believe in justice, but to do justice. So how do you do justice? Well, it's an action. You look around, you discover places where you sense there's inequity and injustice, and you begin to apply your skills to see if you cannot change the dynamics there. It's not something we do once or only occasionally, but it's something that becomes the way we live. We incorporate it into the fabric of our life and who we are. Micah's understanding of justice might be different from ours because his understanding is more than just creating rules for the smooth ordering of society or even making sure that everything is fair. Micah is talking about a justice that is very personal to God because it's the kind of justice that God practices. It's God's justice. God's justice reveals what's important in the very heart of God. The very heart of God calls us to be a just society where everyone belongs, where the neediest are taken good care of, and where no one goes hungry or is disenfranchised. That may sound impossible, and yet within God's kingdom, it's pointed to as something that is being realized. Throughout Scripture, we see God as a defender of the poor and the oppressed. And we see and know it, but the question then falls to us as the people of God. What are we doing about it to cooperate with God in working for justice? The justice Mike is talking about invites us to share in what God has given us. God wants us, no, Micah says more strongly, God requires us to make sure that not one person is left out in the cold, not one child dies of hunger, and not one hard-to-love person goes unloved or is left alone. This work of justice not only gives to the poor, but it also asks the underlying question, which maybe is even more important. Why does poverty even exist here in the wealthiest nation in the world. It's no small matter. And it's easy for us to feel overwhelmed by the scope of it and just do nothing, because we become paralyzed by the sense that it's way too big for us to handle, and we're unsure where to start. But even in our brokenness, I think we can live out the kingdom in big and small ways, and that we can all do it better by doing it together. I see our church and our community doing amazing things, loving the least, the lost, and the forgotten. But we're called individually and collectively to do justice all year long in all our lives. I think it's a habit. It's a discipline. It becomes a way of life that changes our hearts and leads us to change the hearts of others and helps bring God's kingdom into its fullness here on earth. We can't do justice, however, if we don't have loving kindness. In Micah's second requirement, the Hebrew word from 2,700 years ago is a little more difficult for scholars to translate. It was in Hebrew. The first word is clearly love, but it's a much broader sense of love than our sense of passionate connection conveys to us in English. And the second word is more difficult to translate. Whether we land on love loyalty or love goodness, love mercy, or love kindness, what's important here is that Micah urges us towards a significant kind of love, love that is expressed from deep within us, love that is a part of our way of life. The Hebrew word, which you have to nearly choke to say, chesed, it's a positive word. It's a word that is really, really vast. It's a kindness and love between people. It's a piety of people towards God, as well as understanding God's love and mercy towards humanity. It's sometimes referred to as steadfast, never-ending love. This kind of love reflects God's commitment to love. We know that God is merciful, God is kind, God sticks with us every step of the way, even in the worst circumstances of our lives. That's the kind of love that's required of us, to do justice and to love kindness. But wait, there's more. We're to walk humbly with God. All three of God's requirements are intended to be humbly carried out in our daily walk. Well, if we're walking, we're not passive, are we? You have to get out of your chair, right? I don't know many chair walkers. Do you? Unless you're in a wheelchair, and I'm not speaking ill of that. You have others that help you in that movement. We're called to be about this daily as God's people. This isn't drawing attention to ourselves, as Daniel said earlier. It's not about pride. It's not about grandstanding over some program to say, look at the good we're doing. Look at the wonderful things we're accomplishing. Nor is it about saying, maybe if we do this, it will yield more members in our seats on Sunday, though that could be a byproduct. Nor is it to say, if we do all these right things, maybe it will reduce our debts and make life a little easier here. Sadly, this is not a quid pro quo agreement with God. God reminds Israel, Judah, and us of all the many ways that God has provided in the past. He takes them down memory lane and reminds them about bringing them out of Egyptian captivity. And we could think back in our lives and know of the times that God has provided for us and rescued us and led us through the most difficult times in our life. God is God, and we can trust God for continuing care and love and provision. But God has work for us to do. It's what we were created for, not to earn God's favor or to merit our own salvation, for God's already given us those as a gift of grace. This is God's reminder that we are a people with a purpose for our lives. God created us with purpose. And so as God's people, we're to try to explain all our offerings and attempts to please and satisfy God, we're reminded by God that God is not impressed by the amount of our offering or our attempts at great sacrifice. Pastor and author Stephen McCutcheon says it this way, all our religious practices are designed to bring us into a state of reverence for God and compassion for our neighbor. He says, in the Supreme Court of the universe, we are finally judged by how our lives have reflected the love of God and the love of our neighbors. What might that look like in our lives, you're thinking? Perhaps it would look like trying less to impress God with our Puritan piety, and it might look like demonstrating more sweat equity from the hard work of doing justice by speaking truth to power and working to empower those without a voice or place at the tables of power. And like loving kindness, it might look like we would begin to practice that among all people, especially those that are hard to like and hard to love. It might look like seeking no praise or recognition from people, but contenting ourselves to be humbly working out of the spotlight for the good of others as we walk one day at a time with God. Please bow with me now for prayer. God, our deliverer, you walk with the meek and the poor, the compassionate and those who mourn, and you call us to walk humbly day by day with you. When we are foolish, be our wisdom. When we are weak, be our strength. That as we learn to do justice and to love mercy and to walk humbly with you, that your kingdom may come in its fullness on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.